And we're going to kick off today's episode with the story. While it sounds a lot worse than it turns out. Parents, I would give a warning as this story does allude to a sensitive subject, but don't worry over much. It's all right. Snap judgment.
I'm going to sound terrible. This is making me into such a terrible human being.
So that's my friend Monica. And what she's talking about is this story she told me a while back. About this time as a kid when she told this one really, really damning lie.
I don't know. I hate to think of myself as like a terrible little liar. But I must have been. You know, I gotta, I guess, face the facts.
When I was 8 years old, this was in Brooklyn, New York, in a yeshiva, one day the school class got called to go to an auditorium presentation of some sort. It's this big auditorium, massive. It's like 300 kids. The principal comes on and says, okay, everyone get quiet. We have a very important presentation. And I'm just like psyched because I'm out of class and I hated the Hebrew classes. We were missing as much Hebrew time as possible. And before I even know it, the curtains like part on this big stage and out comes this big yellow furry and feathery costume. It's Big Bird, of course, followed by the Cookie Monster, followed by Bert and Ernie. I was dying. You have to understand how much I love Sesame Street. See, growing up in South Brooklyn with Russian parents, the only thing that my parents knew they could clearly understand was good for us was Sesame Street. So that's all I watched. So to have them all of a sudden on stage, in front of me, in the room, I was all ears. But now I see that they're like talking about something that involves touching. They talk about how like if that's okay, and they reenact something that I'm very confused, but I'm watching. I'm really attentive, and I'm like, okay, Sesame Street, they're sitting on each other's laps right now. They're touching each other, and they're telling me something's okay and something's not. And at the end of the presentation, they're kind of like, hey, everyone, well, thank you very much for your attention. You've been an excellent audience, and if anyone has anything to add to this, feel free to share with us and stay behind, essentially, while everybody else goes back to class. I'm like, man, I'm not going back to class. I'm a smart 8-year-old. And then I precisely remember them saying, and if anybody wants to, you know, talk to Bert and Ernie about this, feel free to raise your hand. And I just shot my hand up straight up in the air. I'm like, I do. Chance to talk to Bert and Ernie. I am staying back. The teacher looks at me, Mora Yuta, is like, Miriam Sender, are you okay not to go back to class? You have something to share? I'm like, yes, I have something to share. And then, you know, it's pretty silent. And there's only like one person up at the front. And this teacher is approaching me with like someone else and the clipboard in her hand and comes up to me and says, okay, Monica, this must be very sensitive. And it's really courageous of you to want to stay back and talk to someone about it. I'm listening to her. I'm like looking at her in her eyes. And she's like, of all the things that were discussed today on stage, what happened to you? And I just said all of it.
Now, just to be clear, Monica's parents did not abuse her as a child. This is just a complete and utter fabrication. But it does get her exactly what she wants. A few minutes later, lo and behold, she is ushered into a small room, and there she meets Bert and Ernie.
You know, I'm like, wow, Bert and Ernie. Like, oh my God, I could touch their costumes. This is amazing. So they started asking me questions, but I figured it out pretty easily. All I had to do was just say yes. So, does your mom or dad ever hit you? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, do they strike you with a fist? Yes. Like, do they spank you? Yes. Do they use tools? Yes. Anything they could have asked me, I just did this. They could have just been like, is the house on fire at home? I would have just said yes to anything at this point. I was just like looking at this big smiling face with googly eyes. And I was just like, awesome. And then a teacher comes in, followed by two other teachers. And all three of them are saying, like, you have a younger sibling in the school. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, well, does she experience the same things you do? And I'm like, well, I don't know. They're like, do you think she wants to talk to Bert and Ernie? And I'm like, yes, she does.
They bring back Donna, my younger little sister. She's in first grade. She has no idea what this point is. So she comes in, and of course, they start asking her questions, and she's getting scared. She's like in that kind of like crying mode. And now all the administrators come up to my sister and like, oh no, maybe this is too much for her. We should take her out of the room, because they're thinking she's sobbing because she's like an abused child. And now I'm starting to realize, oh my God, what am I causing? Like the snowball is just growing. And all of a sudden I see through like the little square window of like the classroom, I see my mom's in the hallway. And I'm like, wait, why is mom here? And then I hear my dad's voice. Like, you can't mistake his Russian accent. And I'm like, wait, why is my dad here? And next behind them, I see the police are escorting them. Like, wait, officers, why are the officers here? And then it clicks. I see it in my parents' eyes that they're like really worried and really confused. And Donna's like, oh, mom and papa. And she runs to them. But of course, they're like, no, you can't run to them and hug them. And I only find out later all the repercussions of this about the fact that they're like, a social worker is going to have to check in with them now, look up on me. I'm going to have to like see the school nurse, make sure there's no like bruises on me, all this kind of stuff. But next thing I remember is that we're in the car and we're going home. And we're sitting in the car and it's like dead silent. And I could only imagine what my parents must be thinking about, because they couldn't do anything. Like, they couldn't scream. I think they themselves felt like for a second scared of my power, like over them. So it's like they couldn't punish me.
Well, yes and no, but Monica, tell me what happened. You said that after this incident that you had to see the school psychologist.
Did I?
Yes.
Did I tell you about this?
Yes.
Here's the thing. I can't recall what I told you and what I don't. And now I'm stuck. Now I can't even back out.
Now you're stuck.
I wonder if maybe my mom will just completely deny this story ever happened. It's maybe. She won't. She remembers it.
Hello?
Oh, hi, mom.
Yes. Hi, Monichka.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mamala.
This is Monica's mom, Irene.
How are you?
Good, honey.
We called her to help us set the record straight. She said, yes, it did happen. Monica did accuse her and her husband of physical abuse. But her adult recollection of events has one slight difference.
Nobody really bought into it that she was abused at home.
Why's that?
Well, because Monica, prior to this incident, there's so many other incidents where she would put kids together on the playground and she would tell them stories. And they were always children around her, listening to her. So I think everybody knew she made it up.
And she finally took it too far with this Bert and Ernie thing, with the Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah, Bert and Ernie was too far, because I don't think she realized that we're going to be called in, and I think she got scared a little bit.
Did this scare her straight?
No, it scared her, I don't know, for an hour, I don't know. Not really.
Yeah, you see, I remember everything very differently.
Well, you can't get your facts straight at
all.
Exactly.
I can't even tell the same story a few times, because just like I think this story happened, I can't see the facts anymore. All I see is the memory and the realization of what a great story that makes. And if there was a better way, or if there was a more interesting way to tell something that essentially had the same point, I would just do it that way. Even if it really wasn't true, why not make the whole process just a little bit more interesting? Why not just fatten it up a little bit with some more like zest and spices?
So, Irene, in light of that, do you think Monica has improved?
Improved in her storytelling? Well, that's what makes Monica Monica. No, Monica, she'll tell you stories. You'll never be bored.
Big thanks to Monica and her moms. We appreciate it. That piece comes to us from KCRW's Unfictional. Every week, they find some of the weirdest and most beautiful stories from around the world. Check them out on iTunes or kcrw.com. That story was produced by Joe Rosenberg, with sound design by Renzo Goriel.